Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
We'll be looking at themes that we need to be reminded of. And one of those themes that I want to talk to you today about is holiness. I'm going to do a two-part series on holiness. You might have gathered it by the songs. You might have gathered it by some of the things that you've heard this morning. There are a few reasons why I want to talk about holiness this morning. First of all, holiness is one of the primary characteristics of God. God is good, God is just, God is faithful. But when you boil the character of God down, God is holy, God is love. Everything else flows from his holiness and his love. So I want to talk to you about holiness because I want you to know who God is. Another reason I want to talk to you about holiness is that God takes our holiness seriously. All the way through Scripture, God calls his people to be holy. So that's a great reason to talk about holiness. It's our calling on our life. But one of the biggest reasons I want to talk to you about holiness is that if you want to live a life of abundance, if you want to see prayers answered in power, if you want to walk intimately with God, then you need to take holiness seriously. There's power in holiness. But at the same time, kind of reluctant to speak on holiness. You're in a Free Methodist church, and the Free Methodist church is part of a group of churches known as holiness churches. I take in the Wesleyan Church, the Church of the Nazarene, the Salvation Army, and a number of other smaller denominations. And some of you grew up in those streams or next door to those streams. And sometimes in those streams, holiness was preached poorly. In a lot of those streams, holiness boiled down to a list of do's and don'ts. The list was extensive and sometimes extreme. Women were judged by the length of their dresses or the likes of the sleeves on their dresses. Men were judged by the length of their hair and sometimes whether or not they wore a tie. There were rules against swimming on Sunday, playing on Sunday, having fun on Sunday. The list could go on and on and on. Some of you, you remember that. And if you grew up in one of those streams and holiness was preached like that, then I say, I'm going to talk about holiness, and it probably triggers you. You're tempted to turn me out because, well, there's a lot of baggage that comes with that word. I considered, trying to use another word in the place of holiness. But here's the thing. I think God likes his name, Holy Spirit, right? So as one person said, we're not going to rename it, we're going to reclaim it. And I want to talk to you about holiness. Because holiness is such a huge topic in Scripture. It spans the whole of Scripture. The best way that I know of to give you a whole overview of holiness in a short amount of time is to play you the 6-minute video. It's produced by the Bible Project. If you're interested in watching it later, BibleProject.com/holiness. You'll find this. And so let's run the video on what it means to be holy.
God, today we ask you to hear our prayers.
That's the wrong
video. We ask for healing. In a day where we are so connected to the world, set us apart. In a time of great unrest,
it's a great video on holiness, right? But we've heard it once. Yeah, so let's here we go.
You've probably heard the word holy before, or at least sang it in a church song once or twice. And for most people, this idea is really just connected to being a morally good person. So God is holy because he's morally perfect.
Yeah, that is part of it. But in the Bible, the idea of holiness is even bigger and more rich. What it's really describing is how God is the creative force behind the whole universe. He's the one and only being with the power. power to make a world full of such beauty and life. And so all these abilities, they make God utterly unique, which is the meaning of the word holy. So a helpful way to think about God's holiness is by using the sun as a metaphor. The sun is unique, at least within our solar system, and it's really powerful. It's the source of all this beautiful life on our planet. And so you could say that the sun is holy. And you can actually take this metaphor even further in that the whole area around the sun is also holy.
Yeah, because the closer you get to the sun, the more intense it gets.
Yeah, exactly. So that very power and goodness that generates all this life is also dangerous. I mean, the sun, if you get too close, will annihilate you. And in the same way, there's this paradox at the heart of God's own holiness, because if you're impure, his presence is dangerous to you. And not because it's bad, but because it's so good. And so the first time we see this paradox of God's holiness, it's in the story of Moses and the burning bush.
So God tells Moses to take off his sandals because he's standing on holy ground. And Moses covers his face in fear, and God says, hey, don't come any closer. It's intense.
It's actually that intensity of God's holiness that's explored even more in the stories about Israel's temple, which was the main place where God's holy presence was located. And at the center of the temple was this room called the Most Holy Place, the hot spot of God's presence. And whether you're an Israelite living in the land around the temple or a priest working right in the temple, you're in proximity to God's holy presence, which is dangerous.
Yeah, this is a problem. So how's it supposed to work?
Well, in the Bible, the solution is that you need to become pure.
So like being morally pure.
Yeah, and that's easy enough to understand. But the Bible spends a lot of time talking about another kind of purity, being ritually pure, which is a state where you separate yourself from anything related to death, like touching things like diseased skin or dead bodies or even certain bodily fluids. All these make you impure. And becoming ritually impure isn't necessarily sinful. What's wrong is waltzing into God's presence when you're in an impure state. And so that's why God gave the Israelites very clear instructions for knowing when they were impure, steps to become pure, so that they could go into the temple again.
So that's what the book of Leviticus is about.
Right. But it doesn't stop there. This idea keeps developing. So later in the scriptures, we find this really interesting story by a prophet named Isaiah. And he has this crazy vision where he's in the temple and he's right in God's presence. He's totally terrified.
Yeah, he knows the rules. He shouldn't even be in there. And he's worried about being destroyed.
And then this crazy creature called a seraphim.
Yeah, that is a crazy creature.
Totally. So it flies over with a hot coal, and then it sears Isaiah's lips with the coal and says something really weird. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.
So this burning coal somehow makes Isaiah pure.
Yeah, it's remarkable because normally if you touch something impure, it transfers its impurity to you. But now here's this new idea where you have this coal, this very holy and pure object, and it touches Isaiah and it transfers its purity to him. Isaiah is not destroyed by God's holiness, he's transformed by it. I mean, the implications of this are just huge. But there's one more development, this time from another prophet, Ezekiel. And he has this vision where he's standing at the temple and he sees water trickling out from it. And then that water turns into a stream and then it grows into a deep river that starts flowing through the desert, leaving this trail of green trees behind it. And then it flows into the Dead Sea, making everything fresh and alive.
So instead of becoming pure first and then going into the temple, here God's holiness comes out from the temple, making things pure and bringing them to life. What does it all mean?
So we don't know until we meet this man, Jesus. And he claims that he's fulfilling all of these ancient visions, but in surprising new ways. So Jesus, he went around touching people who are impure, people with skin diseases, a woman with chronic bleeding, or dead people. And when he touches them, their impurity should transfer over to Jesus. But instead, Jesus's purity transfers to them and actually heals their bodies.
Jesus is like that holy coal in Isaiah's vision.
Right. And Jesus claimed that he was the human embodiment of God's own holiness, and that he and his followers were now God's temple, so that through them, God's holy presence would go out into the world and bring life and healing and hope. And so this is why Jesus described his followers as having streams of living water flowing out of them.
So this is our part of the story where we find ourselves now, but where's this all heading?
So the last pages of the Bible end with a final vision about God's holiness. And this time it's by a guy named John. And in his vision, we see the whole world made completely new. The entire earth has become God's temple. And Ezekiel's river is there, flowing out of God's presence, immersing all of creation, removing all impurity, and bringing everything back to life.
All right, beginning to the end on holiness, right? Like that's kind of the condensed course for you. And I hope that you were able to pick up some of the themes of that, because I think that might help put in context what we're going to talk about. With that overview, come with me to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to talk about that vision that Isaiah saw. He was probably a young adult when this vision occurred, and he got his call from God. And now hear the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two wings that covered their feet, and with two wings they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go with us? Go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Let me tell you why this passage is so important for us. So Isaiah, as this young adult, enters into the throne room of God. That's something that still happens today. There are times where we enter right into the throne room of God. We're called to come boldly before his throne of grace and receive mercy and find help in time of need. But there are times when the presence of God sweeps us into his throne room. Isaiah enters the throne room and he catches a glimpse of God. The train of his robe is filling the temple. He sees the majesty and the power of God. He sees the reality and the closeness and the holiness of God. And he is terrified. He's petrified. Woe is me. There's this thing called seraphim flying around the throne. And out of humility, they covered themselves with their wings. And the name seraphim means the burning ones. These burning ones around the throne of God were worshiping him day and night, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The entire earth is filled with his glory." Well, the sound of their voices shook the throne room. The temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah sees the holiness, the reality, the power, the majesty of God trembles. He says in verse 5, "Woe to me. I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah's response is, "Woe is me. You're holy, I'm not. You're God, I'm not. My heart is in a mess. My nation is in a mess. I live amongst the people of unclean lips, and I don't know what to do with me. I have seen the Lord, and I can't unsee that. I'm ruined." Does that sound familiar? How many of us would encounter God and say, "You're holy, and I'm not. I'm sinful, I'm tainted. I don't even know if I can be in your presence. It's not only that I don't deserve to be in your presence, I'm afraid of being obliterated by coming into your presence. I'm ruined." For some of you walking into church today, you felt that. You're not right with Jesus, and there's things in your heart you haven't dealt with. For others of you, you're just very aware of the world we live in. So much of what we see on television or read on the internet or in billboards that we pass or hear on the radio, so much of it is, "I live amongst the people of unclean lips." We live in a world that's unclean. So then you get this gospel moment, this Jesus moment. Here you have Isaiah not being able to get to God and so aware of his own sinfulness, but God comes to him through the seraphim. Seraphim picks up a coal from the altar with a pair of tongs. Sometimes things are so sacred that not even the angels of God can touch them. He takes that coal and puts it in his hand, carries it over to Isaiah, and touches his lips. The seraphim comes across the room. Isaiah can't get to God, so God comes to him right where he is, right where he's at. That's so like God. He meets us where we are. Verse 5. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from tongues from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.'" God does it. That's the gospel. It's not like Isaiah behaved his way into holiness. It's not like he purified himself into holiness. It's not like with his own goodness he earned holiness. God touched him, and in that very moment, he was made holy. And Isaiah, I expect, experiences the pain of holiness. Can't imagine a live coal touching my lips, but it can't feel good. The holiness of God can be a painful thing when it comes in our life, because it has a way of cleaning up the dross, and the guilt and the shame, the sin. But it's a good pain. It's kind of like putting iodine on a wound. It hurts, but it heals. And in the process of becoming holy, you're becoming healthy. You're becoming free. Freer than you ever thought to be. So it's in this holy state that Isaiah was able to listen into the conversation of what went on in the Trinity. Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Holiness helps us hear the voice of God. Our ears are unstopped, our eyes are opened. We're able to see and hear God better. And Isaiah's taken right into the Trinity, and he's eavesdropping on this conversation. Gonna need to go to my people. I need to send a message. Probably won't be a very popular message. You know, gonna send a message that, yeah, a lot of you are gonna disappear and there's only gonna be a remnant that are saved. But yeah, I need a messenger. Who am I gonna send? Anybody have any ideas? Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah sticks up his hand and said, "Here I am, send me, send me." That's a remarkable transformation. Isaiah was over in the corner saying, "Woe is me, I'm ruined. You're God, I'm not. You're holy, I'm not." And he goes from there to saying, "Here I am, send me." The question I have for you today is this. Are you willing to be taken into the throne room of God? It's like the video said, it's dangerous, but it's good. Now, there's a lot of ways to talk about an encounter with God. But one of the most helpful is to say, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit that makes you holy. Now, there is a certain sense where we are to be continually filled with the Spirit. But there's another sense where along our spiritual journey, God meets us in different places in a special way by His Holy Spirit. If you track through the book of Acts where it says, "And they were filled with the Spirit," you will see that there were a number of people who were filled with the Spirit a number of times. Maybe you're here today and it's been a while since you encountered God, since you saw the throne room of God. My question is, would you ask God to fill you with His Spirit? Can't prescribe what that'll look like. Can't even prescribe when it will happen. Maybe it'll happen this morning before you leave. But here's what I know. Here's the promise that Jesus gave us. In Luke chapter 11, He says this. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give you a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give you him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You want to encounter God? I'm going to ask that all of you just bow your heads right where you are, close your eyes. And if you want to say, Pastor, I want a fresh encounter with God, I would invite you just to hold up your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to do any of that. Just want to, so hold up your hand if that's what you'd like to see. Okay, there are a number of you. Father, we pray for the wind of your Spirit to move. Lord, breathe on us by your Holy Spirit. For each person who stuck up their hand, said, yeah, Lord, here I am. Take me into your throne room. Lord, I ask by the power of your name that you would give them the good gift of an encounter with you through your Holy Spirit. I'd invite you to pray after me in the silence of your own heart. Our Father in heaven, send your Holy Spirit from your throne and fill my life to overflowing. I choose to receive all that you have for me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.